Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick! Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle! No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge!
That's Jess Falstick!
This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, live from Shakespeare's Lower Level in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week, we're taking on a topic that is of interest to most people that like to be awful and dirty like me and El Hordano, or as he is now affectionately known thanks to his shirt, Bam Bam 2 Bigelow. Joining us on stage, live in Kalamazoo this week, is Kalamazoo comedian, very funny man, Mr. Brendan Schoen.
Thank you, guys.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
See, there are people here.
Yeah. You got to let the internet know there's people here.
My pleasure to be here.
We're actually going to feed in a lot more noise than this, though.
We're going to have a clap track. That's how we do it.
But not a laugh track, right?
No, we don't need a laugh track.
This isn't Seinfeld.
No. Well, it could be.
Not yet.
This is not about nothing. This is about something.
Oh, I feel like I should put my phone on the table to make an official podcast.
It's kind of like a movie theater. Turn off your phones. If I hear it, I might go nuts and do a clothesline or a moonsault for all the wrestling fans out there who got that.
Don't turn your phones off. I want to see this fat man do a moonsault.
You want to see me break my fucking neck.
Well, yeah, it'll be way easier to do a podcast with you in a wheelchair.
Especially if your ringtone is Flo Rida's My House.
Well, that was the theme for WrestleMania last year, I think. Or 2 years ago? One of them. I don't know. He's got a Dusty Rhodes shirt on. Like, I want to, like, applaud for that.
Yeah, American dream, baby.
Yeah, he's the American dream.
So, thank you guys all for coming out. This is awesome, and I'm happy to be back in Kalamazoo with all my friends.
All of them.
Yeah, you heard them all right there.
All right, Brennan, why do you hate people who are easily offended?
Well, I mean, like, simply put, they're cunts. And that's not like gender specific. Anybody can be a cunt.
It's the British cunt.
Isn't that the good cunt though?
No, that's the bad cunt. The British cunt's the bad cunt.
Oh, well, all right.
The good cunt's the porn cunt.
Hey, have you seen the teeth on that bad cunt?
Yeah. Wait, are you talking to me now?
How many times have we said cunt already? And who's easily offended? All right, there we go.
Good. We don't hate you then.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, just like Jeremy said, like, I much rather prefer my comedy to be dirty, dark, a bit caustic, whatever you want to say. But like, I just feel like some people are so easily affronted that it comes from like a sense of entitlement. Like they just want something to bitch at.
Yeah, that's
millennial cunts.
Definitely, it's not just a millennial thing because you know, I work a lot, so when I'm like doing an 8 p.m. Friday show at a comedy club, and I say the word bitch, and I hear gasps from the audience from the blue hairs. It's a very bizarre moment for me. But when do you find, when you're out performing, that you find these easily offended people?
Well, I mean, you know, like, I'm very much still just like an open mic comedian that just occasionally gets paid shows, right?
So
like
that's AKA for nobody.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you see it a lot at comedy clubs, and it's like the people that go there are there for okay, like in Grand Rapids where I started, the comedy club is located inside the Bob, which is a multi-level entertainment complex. And they have steakhouses and places that serve fish and, you know, like a nice, like, dance place up top where you can probably get roofied, you know, that sort of thing. But these people come to the shows, like, I don't know, for like a casual Friday night. And it's like they do no research in looking up a comic. And you don't even have to do that. But I just see people just constantly just offended by, like, the even the slightest of shit.
Like, give me an example. Like, when was the last time you saw somebody offended?
Oh, well, okay.
And what, like, was it about?
Okay, well, this didn't even take place at a comedy club. But when I was at the store, like, this last week, I had a shirt on that said, "I heart pussy fart." Okay? This woman...
Me too.
And this woman looked at it like she didn't have a pussy herself, right? But like, oh my God, Darren, did you see his t-shirt? Because I was at Walmart.
Well, there's your first fucking problem. Yeah.
And people named Darren shop at Walmart. But it's like, I'm not talking about your pussy fart, just any type of pussy fart, you know?
Well, I feel like that's an open and accepting shirt. Like, it's okay. Like, you're allowed to pussy fart.
Please do. I mean, that's the only time I know I'm doing it right.
Like, for instance, my girlfriend tonight, Victoria Mansberger, she has a shirt on that says, "My pussy wrecks homes." Right? Now, that might be offensive to some people, like, especially if you come from, you know, a wrecked, broken home. But really, that's your problem, isn't it?
So, like, one out of every two fucking people?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's tough to divide 50% of the crowd with your shirt, but it's a bold move. So, yeah, like you said, it's not your home that you're talking about. It's not your pussy. It's a general thing. But do you find that these easily offended people just personalize it to where it's an affront against them? And they just, this is a personal offense, you are directly targeting me, and now I have to respond in kind.
Yeah, because I think, like, it's because, like, the person, like, wants some type of self-importance, like, just to make it about yourself when it's...
Oh, it's definitely all for attention.
Yeah.
Like, it is definitely all for attention. I hate that shit.
I mean, I think unless you're, like, directly being singled out, then I don't see the problem, but...
Like, if I had a shirt that said, "I hate Brennan Schoen," would you be offended?
I would want a copy of that shirt. Like, I would want one for myself.
All right, the next Hate Flow shirts are going to be that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, my mother, she... You know, she's an old Catholic woman, you know. She gets offended when I use the F word. But
which F word?
She shouldn't act like such a faggot.
You know what?
People are walking out. Great.
your mother shouldn't be a faggot. You're right. All that
Does your mother
dressing
heart
up
pussy farts?
Yeah, your mom can't have a pussy fart, so she's a faggot.
Wow.
But regular farts only.
But, like, Shear, in your experience, because you've been doing stand-up quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, haven't you found it, I'm sure at points, just frustrating, right?
It's frustrating because until you're able to, as a stand-up, when you're first starting out, you're put on like a bunch of mixed showcases with people that are doing all types of comedy. You'll find old men telling like Catskills jokes along with people that are just starting out and doing observational shit, people that have really personal traumatic shit that they need to get out, one-liner guys, and it's a mix of everybody. And then there's me, who is a gross-out comic. I say terrible things. Like, I have a joke about making my mom come.
It's true. He does.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like, so I'm put in these situations where people that are going to these shows are there to see their friends or just comedy in general. So those audiences aren't really prepared for anything other than what they've seen on TV. But as time has gone on, and I'm able to produce my own shows, like this one, and it's like, oh, this is about hate. This is dark and dirty. Like, this is what you expect. I find less people get offended, because you know what you're getting going in.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, if somebody gets pissed off, it's like, look, you walked into this. Like, this is Jeremy Shear. He pisses everybody off. So deal with it.
Jeremy, have you heard the old Catskills joke, take my wife, please. She's a faggot. No, but like for me, like, I don't really care for clean comedy. Like, I see the merit, I see the value in it. I just find it kind of lame. Like, I think there are always exceptions to a rule. There are outliers.
Jerry Seinfeld. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Nate Bargatze.
Bill Engvall. Yeah.
A lot of guys.
Those other two I
Bill
mentioned
Cosby.
Were jokes. Well, fuck you.
He's clean. He wipes his dick off afterwards.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Now go fetch me another pudding pop. That was a horrible Cosby.
Oh, that was Cosby?
That was Cosby. That was Cosby after taking a couple downers himself.
But he mixed the drinks up.
I mean, for me, like, I've just always found like more of a challenge in doing something a little bit dirtier, darker, you know? Like, because I
think
that
it's
there's
harder to write clean. Like, because I cannot do it. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm probably not funny enough. Like, I have to say swears and offensive things. Like,
I guess
abortion.
I never really fucking tried.
Yeah.
Well,
I find something really hard. Wait, you said it was harder to do dirty comedy, right?
Yeah.
It definitely is.
But it's like, okay, like, don't you think, Shear, like, don't you think, like, there's a high risk, high reward value?
Yes.
But when you take that high risk, it can end miserably.
Yes, it can.
Like Brock Lesnar's Shooting Star Press.
Yes. Well, that, you say miserable, I say amazing. That big, dumb, goofy bastard almost killed himself for my entertainment, and I appreciate that. Yeah, it's definitely high risk, especially because, like, you can be in minute two of your set and take that high risk, and then you've got 4 minutes left, and it doesn't hit. It doesn't matter what you say for the next 4 minutes. They're done.
Yeah.
So it's definitely high risk.
Well, there's a comedian from Ohio. I won't mention his name.
Names.
No.
Name names. Nobody.
No,
nobody paid the $20 to keep.
No,
their
I understand
name.
That, but he's friends of friends, and I don't want to fucking be.
All right.
A dick.
Well, if I figure it out, I'm gonna say it.
Well, I don't care. I didn't say it, so whatever. The first time I ever saw him do his set, he told nothing but dead baby jokes and raping dead baby jokes. And I was offended because that's just not funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like I was offended at the words he was saying. It was just offensive that he was even allowed on stage because it was embarrassing.
All right. Maybe I need a point of reference here. How long was the baby dead?
I don't know.
There wasn't enough information. I have a good dead baby joke, Jordan.
Fire it away,
oh,
please.
Oh, God.
What does a dead baby's asshole taste like?
Oh, I don't know. Sheer, what does a dead baby's asshole taste like?
Come, if you're doing it right.
Oh, my God. See, it was actually the comedian I was talking about was Jeremy Shear.
Yeah. Yeah, I did 4 years of dead baby jokes.
Looked like a, yeah, is that when you looked like a balding Bray Wyatt?
Yes.
When you wore Hawaiian shirts on stage all the time?
I did.
I like this Jeremy Shear better, like the homeless looking one.
Yeah. More, well, dude, after we hung out outside, I don't know if I look homeless anymore.
They are out in full force.
Oh, yeah, they heard
well,
we were going to be here.
The weather is nice. People are happier in the fall. They give out money, right?
Well, it is close to Halloween, so they're just trick-or-treating for change.
Adult trick-or-treating?
Yeah, this is adult trick-or-treating.
See, adult trick-or-treating with me is like, I used to do that back in the day, just raid everybody's medicine cabinet, see what pills I could find.
So if you were caught, what trick did you do?
I didn't do it. Even when I was red-handed, I denied till I die. I had a really bad headache. I needed 14 Vicodin.
That's a headache. That's a headache that'll put you in the hospital. Yeah. So what's the worst reaction that you've had by an offended person?
Oh, well, I've had someone tell me that I should stop doing that joke immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say the N-word in it?
Why would I do such a thing? I did. Okay. And I, to be fair, like, I don't close on this joke, okay? I'm not some sort of hack, right? I've only done it a couple times. And let it be known that the first time I did it in front of the one black comic that was in the room that I personally knew, so.
Okay.
Wait, you actually said the N-word in a joke?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
All right, but.
Get him off stage.
So
I'm offended.
In high school, my friends and I, we used to have a friend that we called Black Tim, you know? Because you can't call him Nigger Tim because we were already calling somebody else that. See? Yeah.
See?
It's,
all
it's,
right.
It's not that good, no, right? Right? Okay? But
it's okay. A well-crafted joke.
It is a well-crafted joke.
Yeah, it's but man, it's tough when you do a joke like that and then like the N-word's in the middle of it because yeah. You have that beat where people are either going to be pissed or like, okay, where's this
it's
going?
A trigger warning.
Yeah,
I said trigger there, you guys, just to make sure.
That's actually the name of my DVD available from Allie right over there for $5. Trigger warning. Because I was an edgy cunt once.
You could talk him down to one. Actually, the best part about that DVD is Sheer smokes a fucking vape like the whole time he's on stage.
That's not the best. That's the worst part of that DVD.
No, as a fan, you're wrong.
All right.
So the person that confronted me outside of the venue that I did that at was a white college girl, which is fine.
Oh, fucking course it was.
You know, and she said, you should stop doing that joke because that is offensive. And I think that you probably would know the history behind that. And I said, well, I don't know. Is anyone in your family black? She said, no. I said, have you ever slept with a black man? She said, no. I said, well, have you ever had a black dog? She said, yes. And I said, okay, I'll stop doing the joke.
It is, like, I understand, like, when Sheer told me this was the subject we were going to talk about, I was pretty excited because it is, like, the people that get offended that piss me off the most or that get offended the most that piss me off is it tends to be people my age or younger that are white, and they get offended at jokes at, I won't even say at other people's expense, But that is the worst part about it. That's who pisses me off. They just cry and whine, and it's all for attention. It's all for attention. Stop being a little bitch.
I was a little racially edgy when I started. By little, I mean a lot.
You mean like blackface edgy?
No, but he's Jewish and he thinks he can get away with it.
I'm Jewish and I can get away with this.
It's true.
You tried to kill us all. I get a pass for everything. I invited black regulars when I worked at Blockbuster Video to come to my shows. So that's how I did a lot of my early promotion. It was like I'd slip a flyer into every stand-up comedy DVD, and it did great for us. But, you know, I would ask them after the show. Nobody, like, confronted me while I was on stage or cornered me outside. But what they would do, and this has been my experience throughout my career, with, you know, the actual oppressed people that are offended, they'll come up to me and like, look, you can say whatever you want. It just has to be funny.
Yeah.
And it really like made me hone in more on doing less shock and more like joke craft. So
because there certainly is like a fine line between that.
There is, but there's also a chance, like, one thing I figured out is you can't police people's reactions to your shit, but you can definitely police where those reactions take place. And the place for that not to happen is in the middle of your set. We can talk outside. Like that, at least that college girl that cornered you, it was outside the mic and not like while you were doing the joke.
How did you offend the girl who punched you in the face like 6 months ago?
That was
true story.
Let's hear about that.
Oh, that was not 6 months ago. That was last year.
That fucking matters.
Yeah, it was a year ago at the Eurogyro open mic in Kent, which I've been doing for 9 years now. And this woman came in with her husband and was heckling the entire show. And I was taping something for a project that is kind of on hold right now, but. You know, when I'm taping, I don't want any crowd work. So in the middle of a joke, she screams out, "Your mom." And I went, "My mom's dead, you cunt." And she lost her goddamn mind. It's like, he called me a cunt. I can't believe him. She shut up for the rest of the show. And I'm outside smoking with a buddy of mine. And she and her husband come out and say that... You know, there are better ways to handle hecklers than calling him a cunt. And I started screaming.
I disagree.
There is no better way.
I started screaming at her, and I was like, but you're a cunt. you can't talk during the show. This is an open mic. I don't give a fuck. This is my open mic. You can't talk during the show. You're a cunt. I have no responsibility to entertain you anymore once you start talking during the show. Now you're not a person anymore, and
you're
I'm going to destroy you. And so the shouting match intensified, and I was like, take your fat fucking boyfriend with you.
It was not me.
That's my husband. He looked like Brian Posehn got hit in the face with a shovel and recovered by smoking meth.
Is a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thanks.
That was fucking great.
Usually, you know, most of my sets get at least applause breaks, if not standing ovations. So thank you for finally catching up.
So, Sheer, finish up.
All right. So it eventually escalated because I'm crazy. When I get mad, I scream and I want to fight. So me and the husband ended up getting nose to nose, and I'm like, swing, you motherfucker. And
did you Eskimo kiss him?
No, I didn't Eskimo kiss him. I was definitely touching peckers, though.
Dick kiss. Nice. Yeah.
It was dick kiss. We were both fat guys, so like we were really close.
Oh, that was a gut kiss then. Don't even try to play.
Well, also because, you know, I'm screaming at people, I got a little excited. makes me happy. So while, like, I'm yelling at him, my friend finally gets involved, who's a short little British guy. Who has no business getting involved because everyone involved in this fight his three times his size, is pulling us apart and holding the woman back. And while he's doing that, a woman punches me in the side of the face, knocks my glasses off, which, you know, I don't fucking care about, like, getting punched in the face. Like, the cover of my damn DVD is a girl punching me in the face. It's kind of my thing.
But regardless, that was a real cunt move of her to do.
Yeah, because she basically sucker punched me. So I bent down to pick up my glasses, and the fat husband kicks me in the head after shouting, "Get him, honey!" And so then my...
It was Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, it was Larry the Cable Faggot. He's a cable faggot because he gets tied up with cables and fucked in the ass. And so they take that as their cue to go because, you know, the guy that was Albert Milton, he's a small British comic, is holding me back while I'm still screaming at him and trying to adjust my glasses. And while I noticed when she turned around, she had a Dolly Parton back patch on her jean jacket. I was like, God damn it, there was something else I could have called her besides cunt. Country bumpkin. She wishes she had Dolly Parton's titties.
When she
when she punched me, you could see her nipple peeking out from underneath the bottom of her shirt. So she was one of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
These boots were made for walking into a methadone clinic.
For a second there, I was like, that's Nancy Sinatra.
Nancy Sinatra probably needs a methadone clinic. But yeah, that's probably the worst reaction I've had. You know, I've fought a couple people like that have talked during sets, but usually that gets... What? I get really mad when people...
You? No. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Well, that's the worst thing I've seen is a guy tried to come up and grab the mic from Eric Cribley, who is a former professional wrestler. And Cribley had none of it, hit him in the head with the mic, and then started throwing punches until they got out the door. Show shut down for 10 minutes.
Working punches?
No, not worked punches. He was bashing him in the side of the head. I've seen somebody kick down a bathroom door because somebody called his mom a dyke, and he punched him in the face while the guy had his dick in his hand.
My favorite one is I used to host an open mic in Cleveland called the Rowdy Rally Comedy, and it was in like a seedy part of town right across the street from the Christmas Story house. And there was a guy who used to come there all the time. He wasn't a comic. He was an ex-convict, and he was like a 350-pound Puerto Rican dude. And there was a comic who, Laura Partlow, who used to come to the open mic all the time, and she made a joke about her mom dying or her husband's mom dying, and the 350-pound Puerto Rican dude who is drinking double shots of Crown Royal got offended, and she tried to fight him that night. That was pretty interesting because I was trying to like break it up, and the 300-pound Puerto Rican dude, his buddy, started talking shit to me because I was trying to break it up. And the 350-pound Puerto Rican guy ended up punching his friend in the face for talking shit to me, which I thought was fucking awesome.
And man, his priorities are fucked.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. And then, like, so he knocks this dude out fucking cold. And, like, he gets down and he's, like, slapping him in the face to try and wake him up. Dude gets up and starts talking more shit about now how the 350-pound Puerto Rican dude owes him $20. So he fucking knocks him out again and then starts punching him in the neck when he was on the ground. And I was like, his name was Miguel. I'm like, Miguel, he was cool with me. And I'm like trying to like, I'm like, Miguel, stop. I was like, you just got out of prison, dude. I think you might have killed this guy. So then he had just put him over his shoulder and... The cops didn't get called. The cops don't get called in that neighborhood. Never.
I mean, the Puerto Rican only punched him just because he didn't have a switchblade on him. Okay. You know, you would think you would notice that the guy had, like, teardrop tattoos all the way down his face, but...
He looked, honestly, he was so big that he was Puerto Rican, but he looked like he was Samoan. Like, yeah, he looked like not as big as Yokozuna, but like half of Yokozuna.
Jordan's not woke enough to tell his Browns apart.
No, I just don't see them.
You don't see color?
No, I don't. I don't, not at all. Not even a little bit. My cousin's black. I can tell these jokes. He's right over there. Yeah. Give it up for Devin Newsom.
Devin is our tech for the weekend. He's saved our butts a couple of times. And he's past guest on the show, which you can find at theflowthroughyou.com.
Devin, if you're offended by that joke, I'll apologize to your black dog.
He did, Maggie.
Maggie the black dog.
Can I get a beer? Somebody go get me a beer, just a PBR.
Come on, somebody.
Just put it on my tab. Don't put one for you on my tab, though. Please.
Yeah, Jordan doesn't have a lot of money.
Money than you.
Yeah, you do. You didn't have to tell him that, Jordan.
Well, we can combine our money and not buy everybody here a drink.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You're not getting a drink. Nobody's getting a drink.
Let's see those bank receipts, boys.
What? Neither of us have a bank account.
No.
So.
That's admirable.
No. Walmart cash and checks.
Fuck yeah. I don't do that.
Please don't write me a personal check. I can't cash it.
Not even if he double endorses it.
No. I actually found that out because I did a prison last year, and they hand wrote.
True story.
Yeah, they hand wrote the check to me, and I was like, oh, this is from prison. I'll just cash it at Walmart. And they were like, nope. SB pre-printed.
Why
would a prison,
write
you a personal check? Like a handwritten personal check?
Yeah, handwritten personal check.
From a prison?
From a prison.
Was it from the warden?
Wait, how did you get into this prison show?
A buddy of mine went on Gigmasters and found the gig through that and booked six guys, and we all went and did it in the yard.
Was your buddy Dwayne Duke?
It was.
No, Dwayne Duke.
Yeah, it was Dwayne Duke. He got the gig.
Also a former guest on the show. He talked about Brandy.
Yeah.
Brandy Norwood, that's
yeah.
her name.
But, we did. That was a weird show because it was, nobody was offended.
I was going to ask. That was going to be my question. Was anybody offended at the prison show?
No, nobody was offended.
Did you tell a rape joke?
No, of course not. They basically said, hey, like, you're in a prison. Don't admit to any crimes. And probably stay away from rape. And I was like, fine. Like, they've been through enough, I get it.
Were any of the prisoners taking a fancy to Dwayne Duke?
Yes. Somebody said, take off his shirt! And he was like, no.
For reference for that, Dwayne Duke is a black gay comic from Cleveland who's a good friend of ours. And yeah. So that's why he's... Yeah. And he's... Is Dwayne flamboyant? Is that...
No. Dude,
but you can tell he's gay. I mean, you can just tell he's gay. Yeah.
You can smell the cum in his butt.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
Dwayne's a top. No, I'm not speaking from personal experience. No. Dwayne and I haven't had pecker kisses yet, so.
Yet.
I met him like 4 years ago at a show that was run at like the Riverfront Hotel on Sunday nights in Grand Rapids.
Ah.
It's now a defunct show, but it was Sunday Night Funnies.
Yeah.
And like, he's not flamboyant, but like I was surprised when he gave me his business card that it wasn't bedazzled.
I remember that show because I rode with Dwayne to Ann Arbor. So I could fuck my ex-girlfriend for the night.
You hitched a ride to Michigan to get laid?
Yes.
I've done that before, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so Dwayne got the hotel, and I got to stay in the dirty apartment covered in liquor bottles and cigarettes and have really bad ex-sex while I was on antidepressants. So,
if I could leave the state, I would, but I can't. So
you can't leave the state?
No, I'm just kidding.
Convict?
No. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're not like Akon?
Yeah, like I was on probation like a year ago.
Okay. Inactive probation or probation? Like, do you have to go see an officer?
Oh, you mean like probation, like she'd have to like smell my breath and like smell my dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how probation works.
Yeah. But it was for DUI.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got a DUI, too.
Oh, yeah, I know.
DUI brothers.
There's a kinship we have there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sheer doesn't have a DUI. He's just got prior arrests.
I should have had many DUIs.
Oh, I'm...
Okay. Okay. This goes along with the DUI because, like, I've been an alcoholic for over half my life.
Good
I don't
for
drink
you.
Now. I haven't for, like, the past, like, 5 months or something.
All right.
You people can applaud. That's fine.
I just
or not. I that's even better.
I did the jerk-off thing.
But I knew that eventually, like, I was surprised that, like, I hadn't gotten a DUI at that point. Like, it was, like, just mind-blowing to me. And, so it happened the first day of a comedy festival, Laugh Fest, that takes place in Grand Rapids. So it took place a couple of years ago, and on opening night, I dropped my friend off. I get pulled over. And the cop asks me where I was coming from, and I said, hey, I was coming from Laugh Fest. I had watched a couple of my friends perform down there. And he said, you're a comedian. And I said, yes. And then he said, well, do you know why I pulled you over? And
I'm drunk as fuck.
And I said, well, I don't know. You didn't see any black people on the road.
That is fucking awesome, dude.
And the cop... Was offended, surprisingly. Surprisingly, could not take a joke. And that's
dude,
probably
that
why
is,
he's working the beat.
You're my new
know.
Hero. Yeah. You are my new hero.
So did he give you the meat breathalyzer after that? Is that how you...
That means sex. Oral sex.
The best kind of sex.
He's like, all right, I'm going to need you to blow into this. But first, you have to peel back this foreskin.
Why are you doing like this, sucking?
European cop? Ew. Gross.
Peninsula European trash.
Yeah. It was probably Italian. That's what it was. They... I don't like Italian people. I don't care if I offend them. What are you going to do, spit on my pizza?
And I mean...
All right, he's the Jewish... All right,
I mean, well,
he's
really,
the fucking
they're...
Jewish one, and he hates Italian people. I try to be woke as fuck, and I look like Ethan Suplee from fucking American History X. Like, this sucks, dude. My genetics fucking blow. Go ahead, Shear.
It's all right, you know, because you can not like Italians. They're not going to get offended by that. They're too stupid to realize.
That is accurate. Thank you. So, you've been performing for over 4 years.
Just over five.
Just over five. What would you say is your most offensive joke?
Oh, I mean, like, obviously, like, probably the... I don't know. I think, like... tough to say. Okay, so... I did their Laugh Fest Dirty Show a year ago, and my set list was as follows. Opening up strong with my dad beating me.
Right.
Miscarriage, mm-hmm. Being a product of rape, bestiality, masturbation, being called a faggot, Jesus. I'm disparaging Jesus. I wasn't saying anything good about him at that point. House fire, which... my ex-girlfriend can attest to, being molested, domestic violence, pedophile, sex slavery, trafficking, the abduction of children, fucking my nephew, eating pussy and blowing trannies. So, I mean, it's tough to
you
really...
You really cover, like, everything.
I try to, you know, like... You know, I don't know.
That's... All right, so I have a joke about, like, abortion, and I won't do the bit, but, like, I had a line in there that, like, Shear told me, oh, no, people might get offended by that. And it was, like, I tell my abortion story, and in the middle of it, and I'm like, well, is it really an abortion or a miscarriage for hire? And I think that's really funny, but Shear said that miscarriages can be offensive.
It's
to
a miscarriage of justice. I don't know, like, I think probably, like, you know, I think people are kind of really, like, touchy, no pun intended, about jokes about kids. So I'd say any kid joke, probably. But when I first started, I'd done a joke about, like, being a fucking piece of shit. And, like, sorry.
He doesn't look like a piece of shit, though. Like,
I meant,
me and Shear do.
I meant being a nice guy and paying half for an abortion.
That's definitely not a piece of shit.
And a chick confronted me after the show, and she said, I just want you to know that I had an abortion when I was 17, and it was the most difficult decision of my life. And I didn't know what to say to her, but, you know, thanks for your service. Give it up for the troops, everybody.
I love it. I love it.
See, I...
Abortions are great, aren't they, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
They've
got me out of a couple jams.
Any one of us could have potentially been one.
No,
so
my parents
like
are Jehovah's Witnesses,
so...
Yeah. Nah, yeah. My mom would have never gotten an abortion.
Really?
She got pregnant at 40 with twins, and I was pushing for it, man.
With what, a turkey baster? How does that happen?
I don't really want to know the details. I'm not like Sheer and can talk about my mom coming.
I know the details. Your dad came home drunk one evening after a night out drinking away his sorrows. He wandered into the bedroom.
Accurate.
Noticed that your mom was had her bathrobe on, reading a book. It was half open.
This is eerily creepy because that's probably exactly what happened.
He could see a little bit of her labia peeking out from underneath her
thigh. You. Oh, God.
He got a little bit excited. He was like, hey, honey, how'd you like to help me get rid of this problem? And he just pulled his dick out. And she was like, whatever, just let me go to sleep afterwards. And he stuck it in, got a little bit of pre-cum in her, and then fell asleep.
Of course, he had to throw the potato sack over her head, like always.
Oh, my God.
It was necessary. He couldn't keep it up without the potato sack.
I fucking hate you so much.
What? Just because we insinuated that your mother needs a potato sack over her face for her lover to keep an erection? You hate us for telling the truth? We're just being honest, Jordan.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Lie to me, please.
Lie to you? Your mom's fucking hot. She's still got mom nipples, even though she's in her 60s. They're just like little pebbles. They're
my
amazing.
Mom is not in her 60s. She's in her early 50s.
Early
mid-50s.
All right.
Something like that.
Well, you asked me to lie to you, so I'm going to provide false information, Jordan.
Well, all right. Well, that was eerily probably exactly what happened, aside from the potato sack.
Jordan, have you had an instance where somebody's been, like, extremely offended by you?
Anything that I can
I'm not talking
think
about
of...
like offended by your existence. I'm talking about like
oh,
just
yeah, well, all right, now you got me. I mean, I can't think of anything specifically. I mean, yes, people have told me I'm offensive before. I mean, I say bad things, but I just say it to be funny. That's all it is. I can't think of anything specifically, though. If something comes to mind, I'll definitely... I mean, the miscarriage for hire thing, somebody did, like, get upset about that one time. And they were, like, regulars that came into, like, my open mic every week. And they stopped coming after I told that joke. But I can't really think of it. Because honestly, I really don't give a shit. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't know my intentions, like, yeah. if you can't tell by who I am, like, my intentions on when I say something, then I really don't give a fuck what you think in the first place.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
Context is important.
Yes.
But, conversely, like I said, you can't police people's reactions. So, let's say somebody just had an abortion, and it was a very traumatic experience. Sometimes when you go through trauma, being reminded of it causes you to re-experience that trauma. But the correct response in that situation, at least when it happens to me, is to politely excuse yourself and deal with it. But I find that a lot more people tend to, nope, I have to react to this. This is how I'm going to deal. And that's where I have the problem. But I think that's mostly because my reactions have been violent in the past. And, you know, I just don't want to do that. And there's no reason to beat somebody's ass because I'm offended about something. That's why I went to the mental hospital, because somebody told me a very, very racist stock joke, and I tried to break a bottle on the bar and cut his throat with it. That's how I get triggered, motherfucker.
I'm really happy he likes me. I really, really am.
But
he's scary.
He left. Yeah, after that, I was like, oh.
So wait, you were Happy Gilmore, and he was Shooter McGavin?
Yeah, basically. That's what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did he rhyme a lot, too?
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, did you say that to him?
No, I said, psh, I'm off my meds. The bottle didn't break. It is very difficult to break a bottle on a bar, especially when it's a rounded bar. There was no edge for me to shatter it with. And that made me very sad, so I went and cried in the kitchen for 15 minutes instead. I'm not sure if I was crying because I was, like, gonna kill this guy or because the bottle didn't break.
Pretty Jeremy sure Shear, very sure. Stable.
Not at all. Stability is not my middle name.
Or one of your attributes. Yeah. Did you roll a zero on stability?
You can't roll a zero.
That's true. All right, you rolled a one.
Yeah.
You fumbled.
If you're going to... Yeah. Okay. Now you got one nerd reference right. Okay. Yes, it's a fumble. So, Brennan, since, you know, it's obvious that you're not offended by the darkness, what's your own...
Like Charlie Murphy, the darkness?
Yes, that darkness in particular.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy.
Rest in peace.
You dark son of a bitch, you.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy!
He was a treasure.
Yeah.
All right, so the lights are starting to dance around, and I don't know why that is. Who put something in my drink? So
Bill Cosby.
Did we guest list him? He was on the guest list.
He's always on the guest list. Because yeah. If I saw him, I'd beat the fuck out of his old ass.
Well, I was going to let him do a hot 20, and then I was going to take him in the shower and do a hot 45.
You want to fuck Bill Cosby?
Hell yeah, I want to fuck Bill Cosby.
All right, I would film that.
I want to fuck Kid Rock to like a constant loop of Only God Knows Why.
So you want it to be like sensual. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but when you're ready to come, you got to put on like Ball with the Ball or like American Badass, something like that.
Sing
hey,
along,
Michigan,
Kid
that's
Rock,
your
I'm
treasure.
Come
that's
in
your
mouth.
Senator. Coming up.
Scary. Scary.
Senator Kid Rock.
Do you expect Kid Rock to come when you're fucking him in the ass?
Probably. I would imagine so.
Yeah, he seems like the type of dude that can get off really easily. I don't know why, but he
Kid Rock's a Minuteman for sure. For sure.
He is the bull god. Unlike bull. So I find that a lot of people that get into dark subject matter have a lot of serious trauma in their life that they're trying to work through. Do you find that you're using personal experience to draw a lot of this dark shit out of you?
Yeah, absolutely. To a certain extent, obviously. You know, obviously, I'm not fucking my nephew, okay? Not anymore. But.
Is he too old?
Yeah. They just don't make them like they used to, you know?
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I pull some stuff from it, you know? Like, I'm a very, you know, self-loathing person. You know, and
yeah.
I think that it's best to draw from personal experiences and experiences of others that you know that are in your life. I mean, I feel that that's best. But, you know, also when you do jokes like that, right, it's like people really don't. It's hard to draw any distinction, like, right, because they just assume that, you know, like, I'm part of, like, a neighborhood watch just because I want to watch their children. But that's not the case.
You look like you belong to neighborhood watch, though.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, these are the shitty cards that I'm dealt, so...
Oh, no, I'm saying you look like a fine gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Jordan,
like,
you
like
look
like... a pedophile
like
gentleman. Or is it a gentleman pedophile?
I believe it's a gentleman pedophile.
Okay.
But Jordan, you look like you're in a... public pool restroom watch group.
Sheer, you look like a fucking Muppet. Leave me alone.
This is what we call the Muppet Show.
All right. We are kind of Statler. What are they called? Waldorf? What the fuck are they
Statler
called?
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You get bonus points for knowing who those are.
Has anyone ever told you that you look like, hey, slow down, you guys. Like Zangief's son? You know, Street Fighter, right?
I almost said dissension, but I don't know what the fuck the word is.
You're descended?
Descended. I mean, Ostrika is my real last name, and it's fucking, it's Eastern European. So, I mean, he was from Russia. We're real close. Like, the Czech Republic. Is that what they call it now? Czech Republic?
He's Balkan trash is what he's trying to say.
Exactly.
No, nobody's ever told me that. But, like, Zangief's, like, yeah, his fat son, like, the one who was, like, I want to play Street Fighter and eat Doritos.
And, you know, like, he's a wrestler, too.
Yeah, Zangief. Man. Fuck yeah, man. I love Zangief.
Actually, you know what? If you see Jordan without his shirt off, I think we could probably get that chest hair pattern in you.
Probably.
Anybody have some wax?
Fuck you. That's not happening.
Oh, come on. We've got a shower.
No. How much would you guys pay me to get waxed on stage? Because I would do it if it was worth it. Like $500?
That's nobody. Nobody is speaking up.
Nobody wants to see that.
It would have to be a really well scented candle too.
You would do it with candle wax?
Oh hell yeah.
I feel like that would have hurt way worse.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
What? Like,
it's. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you gotta scream a little bit. That's what I want.
I can scream.
Maybe like, I don't know what you're into, man. Like, you know, like maybe like missionary. A nice, like, no, not like that. Of course you are. But like, you know, I don't know, maybe like a red velvet scented candle. I don't know, man.
It has to be blue velvet because I'm a David Lynch fan.
Oh, okay.
So this is what we'll do. We'll lie on stage. We'll get you a tank of nitrous. And
no, Percocet's fine. We don't need nitrous.
I was making a blue velvet reference. You dick.
Oh, shit. Fuck. I missed that one.
You missed the David
Frank
Lynch.
Booth.
There you go. Good boy.
I am drinking PBR right now.
Of course you are.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Because he's trash.
Heineken. Fuck that shit. Thank you.
I'm not drinking PBR because I have been sober for a year. So you got some catching up to do, Brennan.
I've been told that a lot of times during my life. So yeah.
When was the last time you had to do some catching up?
You mean like reading or like eating my girlfriend's pussy or like Shark Tank episodes?
Eating your girlfriend's pussy, like how do you have to catch up there?
Well, I mean, I just go in the fridge and I grab some Heinz ketchup, you know, or maybe, I think maybe
ketchup
we might
ketchup is disgusting.
Have like, I think, well, you're a ketchup hater?
Oh, I hate ketchup. Before I got the DUI, this is fun.
This is fucking offensive.
No, this is fun. No, ketchup is disgusting. It's the worst of the condiments aside from sweet relish. All right, so I was known as, at the Steak and Shake, because obviously, look at me. I eat a lot of Steak and Shake. When I used to host that open mic, I used to drive home through the Steel Yard, which nobody knows where that's at, but whatever. And there was a Steak and Shake there. And I would go there drunk as fuck and order my food and always, like, no ketchup. I was known as the ketchup Nazi there. They were really cool to me because they used to hook me up with free hamburgers. Never had any ketchup on it. It's pretty rad.
You don't like tomatoes or like?
No, I love tomatoes. That's not tomatoes. Ketchup is not tomatoes. Right. It's fucking vinegar and salt.
Did somebody rape you with a ketchup bottle?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Thank you. Fucking thank you. That is true.
Jordan, one time when you took too many Xanax.
Never did benzos.
You didn't know you took too many Xanax. I crushed them up and put them in your drink.
Jewish Bill Cosby over here.
Yeah. Well, look. All I'm saying is I know how many smacks it takes to get the entire ketchup bottle in your butt.
Like, were you doing it like how people do with ketchup? Like, is that how you were doing it? Like,
yeah,
that?
Exactly. Yeah, really... One, a two, a three. There it is.
You got it in. Are we talking like the big bottle or the...
No, no, no. This was one that I stole. Like, it's a small table size.
Oh, so it's not like the, you know, like the little.
That's
ones
why your asshole
like
is not blown
big.
Out, Jordan. I'm a professional.
You ever seen like the little stubby ones? Like the.
Yeah.
It looks like lip balm, but it's like ketchup or A1 sauce.
Your
They're
dick
cute.
Looks like lip balm. All right. So, Brennan, where can people catch you and possibly be offended by you?
You can catch me at the local health center yelling, why don't they have my meds prepared? You can follow me on Twitter. That's at Brennan Schoen. I'll spell it just to piss people
spell
off.
Spell it out for them.
Who the fuck cares how I spell
it? Go ahead,
my name, right?
Enzo.
B-R-E-N-N-A-N-S-C-H-O-E-N. And I will be performing at Rupert's Brew House tomorrow. Rupert's.
Yeah.
A good place to drink and laugh at comedy.
All right. Well, that show, by the time this goes up, it will have already happened and you missed your chance.
And I
Curses!
Hope And I hope you offended somebody.
You should have been there.
You should have been there. Brennan got stabbed.
You should have heard my tight 2 minutes on 9/11.
I hope somebody breaks a ketchup bottle and stabs you with it. It's probably going to be Jeremy Shear, though.
I'm not going to break a ketchup bottle. I know better than that. I've got other uses for it. Jordan's going to pass out again tonight.
Yeah.
We got to give a shout out to our sponsors.
We have sponsors.
Yeah, we have people pay us to do this. Our sponsors are now Chris Clem at Chris_Clem on the Twitter. Jess Falstick at Epic Fall, FAUL, on the Twitter. And Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on Instagram and Snapchat. She does not have the rest of the social media. It is just image-based, and trust me, that's all she needs.
Honestly, it's fucking worth it.
Yep. And then Plight of the Stripper Herder. You can find that blog at plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com.
I kind of feel like a pig for saying that about Britt. She's a very nice person, too.
Thank you for clearing that up, Fat Woke Boy.
Thank you.
Number one woke boy. Of course, Pete Melk back in C-Town is Pete's getting this put together for us. Thank you very much to Chuck here at Shakespeare's Lower Level.
Thank you, Chuck.
And the entire staff here, honestly, this has been really, really cool to set up. And there's going to be more of us after a short break. But Jordan... I don't think we're going to find anybody who hates people who are easily offended as much as Brennan Schoen.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Sir Jeremy Shear, can you ponder me a query?
Yeah.
Do you love your brother?
I love my brother. Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. How much do you love your brother?
I love my brother Chris Clem so much it hurts my heart.
I love my brother so much, I listen to his podcast, the C4 podcast, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Ooh, that's crackers good, mate. It's the best sports ball podcast on the whole Lousy Weather Media Network.
I heard he just gives himself the old leaping lanny the whole time.
Oh, yeah, Chris Clem definitely has the reach for the old leaping lanny, mate.
Do you know who Chris Clem's favorite wrestler is?
Who's Chris Clem's favorite wrestler, mate?
The Undertaker, the Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That's Chris Clem!
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.